During the service, biscuits are being skillfully distributed to you now, all right? And enjoy listening to the worship band as they just prepare for our time together in a few months' time. So, service proper in about 12 minutes, but help yourselves to drinks now. Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. Don't worry if you're still gathering coffee, and we can't start immediately because we haven't even got all our musicians over here yet. But just to say a warm welcome to you today. If you're listening on the CD or podcast or something later in the week, this morning is all about Viva la Différence. Okay, so if I can just outline the scene. Outside, it's rather drizzly and dreary, a typical English grey day. But inside, there's a vibrancy and excitement. Actually, it's really probably fear. As people are sat around tables rather than our normal serried rows of chairs. Again, O ye of little faith, we didn't put out enough tables. So great how God always exceeds our expectations. So lovely to see so many of you here today. And I'm hoping you're here as much as anything out of curiosity rather than just sort of, oh my goodness, what's this all about? Anyway, it'll be a good time. It's great to have some of our younger people with us today as well. Nice to see them. Morning, Will. Thank you for joining us. Good to have our musicians. Good to have those listening remotely and good to have all of you. You may remember that last week we looked at the story of Samuel. And I warned you then that today we have a sort of cafe-style service. In other words, we rearrange the furniture. Coffee and drinks are throughout the service, which also means if you need the loo, that's available as well, all right? You don't have to hang on to the end. At any point, just come up and help yourselves to another drink if you would like to. And my thanks to Anne and Charles for facilitating refreshments. Thank you for being here, and thank you to our musicians as well, of course. And also to a whole host of contributors this morning, because we talked about Samuel, and we also talked about the ways in which ordinary people can achieve extraordinary outcomes in his name. And do you remember we looked at a list? Joan's got that list there for us. 15 ways in which people could maybe serve their God. And as I say, extraordinary outcomes in his name by very ordinary, imperfect people, just you and me, basically. So what we wanted to do today was to take that a little bit further. We looked last time at a verse from 2 Corinthians 4:10, and that says, "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body," and we talked about what that actually meant, about it's all very well having head knowledge, but it should be evident in the things we do. And I want to link that today with 1 John 3:18. "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." The words and speech are great, but on their own, they don't necessarily achieve very much. We need to do both, in other words, to be served through love as well as hearing the truth. The Girls Brigade had a fabulous morning yesterday, well, day, actually, doing their circus skills, and I popped in for that, and Mike was helping with refreshments, and Anne was as well, and the Girls Brigade leaders were working really hard. And there was lots of tangible outcomes, people learning circus skills. And in a way, our Christian walk is a bit like that. learning how to use the diabolo or the cup in ball on cup on string. Do you know what I mean? But just learning how to put those skills God has given us into effective action. So we had a question, really. How could I serve God locally in a practical way? So today, we didn't want to look at what missionary organizations are doing. We want to look instead at, very briefly, at 9 different stories in 5 themes of what people in this congregation are doing in terms of social action, how they're stepping out and doing things to show their faith in God in action. It's not a recruitment drive, but equally, if you hear anything and you go, ooh, that's interesting, I'd like to know more about that, speak with those people, not just after the service, but any time, you know? And their contact details for most of them are actually in the Sunday page as well. Okay? But let's just check that question about why. Why would I want to do this? Well, as I say, Jesus both spoke and actioned through truth and love. And if you think about it, some of us are more comfortable doing one or the other. You know, we quite like either telling the truth or sharing the love, but not necessarily both. So today we want to see different ways in which that can be done. And we're going to have, as I say, a series of what I call elevator debates. It doesn't work quite so well if you talk about lift debates, because people instantly think you're talking about weightlifting. But you know that idea of the elevator debate? You step into the lift, the elevator, and you've only got, I don't know, 20 seconds or however it takes to go from the ground floor to the top to explain your faith or say why you're a Christian or why you're going to church. And it's a bit like that this morning. And I even have on the lectern here a 5-minute timer, and I'm actually going to set it. And at the end of those 5 minutes, if our interviewee and interviewers haven't finished, I'm probably going to go, zunk, that's it, and on we go. Otherwise, we'll be here till Christmas, although that's not that far away. But anyway, let's start with a song. And I would suggest for the songs that you stand for those if you're able, just to give your legs a break. And if you want to sort of shuffle around a bit, that's fine. If you're more comfortable seated, that's fine. Please don't spill any coffee. Think about the health and safety. I probably haven't done a risk assessment on that. But anyway, just be careful. And as I say, anytime, if you want to get more drinks or go to the loo, just do that yourself. Okay, and I feel a bit like an autonomous car today. I don't have a clicker at all. It's all up to Joan. Okay, no pressure, Joan, all right? But Joan is driving the vehicle this morning. So let's stand, if we're able, and sing. May the mind of Christ my Savior. And we're just going to sing the first and last verse of this. Live in me from day to day. Not just one-off, not just on a Sunday, not just when I'm feeling great, but every day. Please stand if you're able. May the mind of in me. On our recent holiday, we came across this hole in the ice. And sometimes people have a hole in their lives, the missing bit. That's where Jesus needs to be. Reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me. Establish your throne. Let's embark in finding out a bit about the first of these five themes. Food. Why do I keep coming back to food? I'm not sure. And in this first chunk, Mary's going to help us find out a bit more about the Lord's larder and the community pantry. Okay, so Mary and Morris. What a dynamic duo.
Introduction. My word. Right. Well, it's down to Morris whether or not the mics work. Are we good?
Yeah, I think so.
Wonderful. Right. Morris, I know the Lord's larder's changed a lot since you became involved 6 years ago. Tell us what the situation is now and what's happening up till Christmas.
We're extremely busy at the moment. We were only busier during the pandemic. So, yeah, we're really getting on for about 30-40% more stuff going out than would have gone out 2 or 3 years ago. So Christmas, would you like me to explain about the Christmas Toys Project?
Absolutely, and the collection
Tesco's. So what we also started doing a couple of years ago, and are now doing this as a combined project with the South Chard and Chard community hubs, we collect toys which go to families that some of the 50-odd agencies that refer into us have recommended will be in a position where they're going to need something at Christmas. And we don't want to see any Christmas where no child has no toys to unwrap. And the other important project which happens at this time of year is that we work with Tesco's and Fairshare, the surplus food supply organisation that oversees us. Tesco's will be asking people to give extra food from the 30th of November to the 2nd of December. And members of the 20-strong team of volunteers from the Lord's Larder will be thrusting leaflets at people. So do come in and shop in Tesco's, buy more. And we're also looking for help on the Monday evening, the 4th, and Tuesday, the 5th, to pack away what we've received, because we normally hope to get a month's worth of food in that 3 days. And at the moment, our store cupboards are really pretty empty.
Right. So what other initiatives have grown out of the need for help with food costs, Morris?
Well, really, things from the community pantry, which is a project where people come and pay £5 a week and they get basically surplus food collected from the supermarkets by Fairshare as a range of fresh vegetables, bread, all sorts of chilled or frozen things, which is entirely random, but is worth far more than the £5 they pay. It means that people are paying for their food, but at the same time able to build up some reserves.
So can you remind us how we can help? I think this church is involved, isn't it, as well? Clearing as a deposit station and a sending out station and everything else.
Yes. Our role with the food bank is as a collecting and packing point. We have Bill there is one of the team that's here, packing food away, dating it, labelling it, and then we transport it down to Forefront, where it's bagged and distributed to people on a daily basis that get referred in to us.
So I really do need to ask, finally, how do you relate this to your Christian faith, Morris?
Well, I think it has to be a commitment that's been part of a Christian faith. So I did have a verse, as we're looking at tithes, I look at this as a tithing of my time. And as long as I get straight to the right verse, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it.
Well,
sums it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Morris and Mary. 12 seconds to go. That was very good. And helping, and people taking shelves, tins off shelves, and those who, you know, those who need the food bank. And then, Joan, help me. If we go on, we come to just a different sort of food help, I think, is next. Is it? Oh.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah. Oh,
Project
absolutely.
Food, whilst Mary's still here. And Alison's going to talk to us a bit about Project Food.
Complete with very smart apron and plenty of advertising on the front table if you have a chance to go and look. So, okay. Alison, tell us how and why you became involved with Project Food in the first place.
Well, basically, after Trevor died, really, I wanted to do something. I wanted to volunteer. I missed going to work. And somebody suggested Project Food to me. I love cooking, I've always loved cooking. And when I was working, I worked a lot with children and families, and quite a lot of the work that we do with the Food Project is with children and families. And so really, I thought it would be a good fit for me.
So tell us about the three current projects that are happening.
So basically, every week I go down to Axminster. The charity's based in Axminster in the hospital, the old kitchens. We have the kitchens there, and also we've recently acquired the kitchens in the hospital in Ottery St Mary, but we're actually based in Axminster. So I go down every week and I cook meals that are then frozen in portions and distributed to people who need them in the community. So it's really great because I'm cooking huge portions, which is so different to what I do at home. So that's really good, and it's great fun. We've got an ongoing project. I've been involved with it for over a year now, called the Good Grub Club, and that runs in the school holidays, where parents and children come and basically learn to cook healthy, nutritious meals. It's sponsored by Abbey Homes as part of their community outreach. We started off in the youth centre and we ran sessions during the school holidays. Parents and children come along. We cook a healthy meal and a dessert with them. Then they sit down and eat together. And then we give them a recipe and a recipe box of ingredients to take home so that they can recreate those at home. We've also run them as after-school clubs. We've done some in Manor Court School and at Avershays. And there, parents and children come and they give us a community room or something in the school where we run them on a similar basis. The ongoing situation is that we are running them probably one per school holiday. The next one is in the week before Christmas, and we are now running those at Holyrood School in the kitchens there. And so that's an ongoing thing that we're doing. We're also running Cooking with Confidence courses, and they are once a month on a Friday, and they're run at the Crowshoot Centre. The next one is on Friday. Those are a slightly different format because what we do there is we do a demonstration, a cookery demonstration, and then we eat what we've cooked together as a meal. They tend, at the moment, there's about five people attended the last one. There were about three older single ladies who, are cooking for themselves. And a couple of ladies with families with some special needs. And so we talked to them about how they can swap ingredients in what they cook already to make them more healthy, more nutritious, and also cheaper. The whole thing is...
You've got, as I say, stuff on the table there, haven't you, about how we can help and all of that and what sort of volunteering can be done. So can I go straight on to say to you, really, why and how do you feel what you do is related to your Christian faith?
I guess really what I mean, a very big part of my Christian faith, I think, is about serving people. And I wanted to be able to do something to serve people in the community. I always feel that a very big part of Jesus' ministry was relating to food and meals and sharing together. And it's very much part of that. And we have lots of really interesting conversations when we're sitting around a table eating together, which is something that people just don't do, we found. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Alison. And we're within time as well.
Yep. Well done. Thank you very much. Oops. Isn't it an amazing thought that, Jesus is the bread of life, both spiritually and physically, but sometimes we have to intervene to help in the distribution of food. Let's sing together. Here We Are Giving. This goes to the tune of Morning Has Broken. It's normally a harvest hymn, but it was Morris's idea, actually, to say, well, let's have something harvesty, because it just links really well. Here We Are Giving. Out of our plenty, fruit of thanksgiving, tribute of love. Please be seated. And we move on to the third story, but the second of our themes, really, about listening, how important it is to listen. And Jim and Sylvia are going to kick us off in this section with what they're thinking about the welcome back. Thank you, Jim and Sylvia.
Okay. What was significant about the year 1992?
1992, when Jim and Sylvia moved to Chard. That was the most important thing for us, but it was also important that we joined this church, which was celebrating 150 years ministry in that year. But also in 1992, the Welcome Back opened for the first time. What is the Welcome Back, you might be asking?
Well, most of you know, but I'll tell you anyway. The Welcome Back is Chard Baptist Church Coffee Shop, and we build bridges with the community and provide coffee, for one, which someone said recently is the best in town. That wasn't us, that was them. Customers like the friendly atmosphere and the helpful staff, who are all volunteers from the Chard area, but not all from this church. We have a prayer request box for customers or staff to put in prayers for people they know or for themselves. Staff include them in their prayer time before we open at 10 o'clock. So why is it called the Welcome Back?
It's a play on words, and always, from the beginning, we've tried to give a warm welcome to our customers. Is that true, Sue? And, of course, the other part of the word, back, that's a play on the word Baptist, and also the fact that it's one of our most popular items on the agenda, which is a bacon bat. Is that right, Alan? So what impact has our shop been in the town?
Actually, one thing we should have mentioned is that celebrating 30 years as a coffee shop last year is apparently something of a record for church coffee shops, we were told. The impact in the town, well, one thing would be that about 10 years ago, we received an award from Chard Town Council for our services to Chard by providing work experience for students. And at the moment, we have two. One of them is through the Diocesan Youth Initiative, and the other is as part of their working toward their Duke of Edinburgh Award. It's really great having youngsters on the team. And another is, of course, we provide a warm space for four mornings a week, which regular customers take full advantage of. What could other people do to support this work?
Well, the first thing would be to offer as a volunteer. We always need volunteers in our shop. And if you'd like to do that, see us afterwards, as Alan pointed out at the beginning. But also, a good encouragement and a great encouragement is for you to come in as a customer to enjoy coffee and perhaps one of Carol's cakes. That encourages staff no end when they see people coming in from the church. And it's also a huge help if you come in, not just sit on your own at the table, but listen to others and talk with other customers who may be on their own feeling lonely and so on. And the most important thing is to lend a listening ear. Sometimes, especially on a Saturday, we're so busy that the staff just can't have a meaningful talk or listen to our customers. So do you think our doing this is related to our Christian experience?
Well, yes, it's for both of us. I think it's part of our service and also our giving to the Lord's work, thus supporting and encouraging other members of staff. You agree?
Oh, yeah. Would I differ?
Thank you, Jim and Sylvia. Sometimes listening is not easy. Not easy at all. And Bill's going to come and explain a little bit about to us about an initiative that he's been involved in the past and hopes to see sort of re-kicked off post-pandemic, prison visiting. Bill. Okay, thank you, Bill. This is something you were involved in before COVID and lockdown, and now you're hoping to restart this work, working with prison chaplains and that. What on earth does a prison visitor do?
We go into prisons. Well, this is in what I've done in the past. It's sort of different every time, so you don't have the same things happening every time you go to the prisons. But generally, there's some prisoners that want to chat. We're in touch with the chaplains, and they appreciate us going in as somebody from outside the prison service, bothering to come in and chat to the inmates. We chat to them about all sorts of things, but including, obviously, that Jesus loves them and wants to help them.
Do you feel this makes a difference?
I don't know. Ask the prisoners. That's the simple answer. But yeah, we've had testimonies back from prisoners who have been helped and blessed and come to know Jesus as Saviour and Lord in their lives. Yeah.
Brilliant. So do visitors go in on their own or do they go in as part of a team? Or?
In the past, I've always gone in as a team, you know, with the churches, the other churches, I've been to. I went and came here, what, a year ago? I don't know.
Yep.
So I come from a different church, and we had a team there, and it was just part of the team, and went
so,
in.
So is that how you think, you know, how do you think people here could support this notion?
Well, with a, say, give a figure top top of my head, say 12 people, so you've got 12 people that are interested in telling the love of Jesus to prisoners. Now, not all 12 of them probably would want to go into the prisons, but say 3 or 4 of us go, and the rest of them pray for us while we're in the prisons. I mean, it's prayer changes things.
Right. So
prayer is the important bit.
A similar sort of format to how street pastors used to work,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill. And why do you feel this is related to your Christian faith?
I don't know. Short answer. Don't know. It's just something I got doing and kept doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. Short answer. But it's, you know, it's want to, you know, everybody needs to know Jesus, including people in prison. You've got a captive audience there, Wayne.
Thank you ever so much, Bill. Thank you very much. We'll leave it there. Thank
okay.
you. I like the idea of a captive audience. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yep.
All good.
Right. It's interesting, isn't it? Lending a listening ear. Whether it's to people drinking coffee, inmates in prison, or even whether it's to children. And I volunteer with a charity and with an organisation within the County Council involved in children's advocacy, and where children are going for child protection meetings, and it's important that somebody listens to what the child wants heard at those meetings before the meeting takes place. They're always looking for new mentors to work with children on a regular basis, or as I say, Route 1 are always looking for people to help just work with children. The importance of listening, the importance of working with the younger generation. And sometimes I think we forget how much God values listening to us, but we're so reluctant to talk to him. Let's sing again, just a couple of verses of In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified, and In Your Church, Lord, Be Glorified. And maybe that glorification bit includes actually, you know, working our faith out with other people. Hopefully it's not just empty deck chairs. There's something going on. Thank you, musicians. And so we move on to the third of our themes, helping with health. Now, you could say everything we've heard so far is about helping with health, but I want to focus in this section on how people, if you like, get involved in things that either help with physical health or social well-being or mental health through an avenue or a conduit that doesn't involve wearing a stethoscope and a white coat. Oh, there. Need to replace my dentures, clearly. Okay, so Chris and Jim have an interesting experience to share with us. We're going to hear from them about the men's shed, and I'm going to ask them some questions. So Chris and John, if you're able to come this way, and gather around the microphone there. So, Chris, the inevitable question I think we need to clarify first is, what is a men's shed?
It's a large relief for ears of men. Just a couple of hours in an afternoon to be...
Physically, what does it look like? Physically, is it a garden shed? Is it a garage? Is it?
The one we use now is a very nice shed, albeit not big enough. But it's comfortable. We have a coffee to start with, a natter, and then we sort of do a little bit, and then have another coffee and another natter.
Okay, right. And if you can speak towards the microphone rather than me, but just, you know, ignore me. That's what most people do. John, let's just ask you then. So how on earth did you get involved? Because, I mean, like, you've not lived in the area very long. I mean, how long have you been?
2 years.
2 years. And already you're into Mentor Shed. So tell us a bit how you got involved in that.
Well, Sylvia and I went to the Holiday Club. And she was on the door. She was bouncer, and she got talking to Steve, to Paul, who runs it, and mentioned the men's shed. And then she burnt my ear for the next 6 months, until I went along and found it. And as Chris said, now I get a bit of relief.
Okay, moving swiftly on. So, Chris, do you actually do at the men's shed?
What do I do? Initially, there were a number of lathes for turning, which people just love turning. That's most of the activity. But I recognise perhaps a need for a router, which a machine and a bench. Which I use quite a bit at home. And so I made a bench, and we were donated a machine from B&Q, brand new one.
Can you just explain for the uninitiated what a router does?
It reduces wood, flat. If you want to make a box, you use a router. To machine the timber down to size, make the joints, etc. All done on a router. But unfortunately, to make a box probably takes 8 or 10 sessions within the make of it, where a lathe, and if you're turning a bowl or turning something on a lathe, it can be done in a couple of days. So most people, the most popular thing is the fastest moving thing, you know. Okay. But never mind, I'm there if anybody wants to make a box. If not, I'm there doing a fair bit of turning, which I don't need to do because I've got a very good lathe at home. But
all right, so but it's partly the company and being with other people.
It's the company. Yes. It's the company.
So, John, who are these other people? Who else? Who attends?
It's just a selection of men. Just a selection of men who come together, and we do a fair amount of chatting. And as Chris has just said, turning on the lathe, I think that's the most important. Not important, but the most enjoyable thing at the moment when you get a bit of wood and you hollow it out or turn it round, and you see how the grain comes up. It's really satisfying.
So how does this benefit other people?
Gives them an interest. A lot of people, don't have an interest. They might read or something like that, but physically, they're able to, they're still able to do stuff with their hands, and I think it's quite important to men to be able to take something home and show their partner and say,
And how does volunteering with this organisation relate
to your faith?
Well, that's difficult to answer, but it is. I believe that being a Christian, if you meet with people, and particularly if they know you're Christian, then you share your faith with them, not just in words, but in just the way you are, the way you carry yourself, what you do. And that's part of it as well. Although most of the guys there, I think, are Christian. Not everybody who goes there are Christian. And if they come along and they can take something of the Lord away with them from being with us, then that's it.
Thank you. Thank you both very much for explaining to us a bit about the men's shed. Now I know a little bit more about how it works. And then the other sort of healthy thing I wanted to just investigate a bit more about is the our seventh story, if you like, is the Macular Degeneration Society, or the Charred Macular Society. And you can tell from that I wasn't even quite sure which to call it. So just shows how little I actually know. And Kathy was just going to tell us a little bit about her work with this organization. So Kathy, again, thank you for coming out the front here, like our other people. We've heard about and shared a little of your own personal journey with macular degeneration. So can you just remind us in one sentence, what is macular degeneration?
Macular degeneration is, it affects the central vision and is the most common cause of blindness in the Western world.
Right. So thank you for that, and thank you for hitting the brief. We've prayed about and rejoiced in your own road to recovery from this condition, to the state now where you can drive again, and that's, we've praised God for that. Many people in your position might want to put all that behind them and just sort of move on with their lives. So why did you decide to not only support but assist at the local Macular Degeneration Society Club that meets here in the church hall on a regular basis?
Right, okay. Can I correct you on one thing?
Yeah, please do.
I still have the condition.
Right.
I know I had laser treatment, which was a cure for something else that they thought was down to the macular degeneration, but it wasn't. But the fact is, my vision came back better than even the medical people thought that it would. And that's the miracle, that even with the condition and with the treatment, I can see really well with one eye. Why did I want to help? Well, mostly, but not always, this condition affects elderly people. A lot of these people live alone, maybe, and it can be scary. To find out that you're suddenly losing your sight. And to have somewhere to come where everybody can get together for a coffee, to socialise, or to hear what help is available is something that they really look forward to.
So what sort of people attend the group?
Right, we've got people who've got the condition. We've got... Also, it's open to anyone with a visual impairment, not just macular degeneration. And we've got friends. It's open to friends and family. Or it can be open to anyone who just wants to know more about macular degeneration, because it's affecting more and more people as we live in a more ageing population.
So how do these meetings make a difference for those folk?
They make a difference because they've got a purpose to get out. They can meet with people. They can find out more what help is available. And it's a form of socialising, and therefore it's a feel-good factor for them.
Brilliant. So what could other people do to support this work?
Well, other people, now you know about it, if you know anybody with a condition, point them my way. I'm happy for you to give them my details. I'm very grateful to Christine, who helps with driving, because she picks one of my very frail elderly ladies up, although she could do with extra help with that because the lady is very frail. And Joan has been helping, but unfortunately Joan has other commitments. If you want to get involved physically, I could always do with a hand to put tables up, but also prayer. Just pray that the group is very well supported. It's a macular support group, and the Macular Society is like other national charities, like Breast Cancer Research and everything. They do all the hard work behind the scenes and raise money, raise funds for finding, to try and find a cure or, you know, treatments for the condition. So it's the Macular Support Group, which is under the umbrella organisation of the Macular Society.
Thanks. And finally then, do you feel that doing this is related to your Christian faith?
Absolutely. And the a verse in the Bible, which is part of Matthew 25, verse 40, the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So what I do for others, I'm doing for Christ."
Thank you very much, Kathy. Thank you. Let's sing again. And please stand if you're able. "Take My Life and Let It Be." And if you think all beach huts stand vertically, they don't always. And we don't always stand vertically. Sometimes we're a bit sort of lopsided. But that doesn't stop God using the skills and talents that we have to serve him in the real world. So "Take My Life and Let It Be," dedicated to your praise. "Lord, I freely give to you every moment of my days." Please stand if you're able.
My days, I have to show your love.
Seated. Well done. And in our fourth set, and don't forget, as I say, if you're feeling in need of more coffee or drinks, do just pop up and help yourselves to that. Christine's going to talk to Hannah now about the work of Blythewood Shoeboxes. We've sort of heard about this in the past, but it's good to get an update on what's been happening this year. So Hannah and Christine.
Well, Hannah, you and I have been working together for, 2.5 weeks on shoeboxes, and we've worked together for a number of years, but actually, you've worked a lot longer doing shoeboxes. Now, how long have you been involved in these sort of projects?
21 years. It first started with Peter and Pam Pike in their conservatory, and in 2002, I started helping them.
Right, okay. So what the sort of things go into a shoebox? Because these shoeboxes are made every year. So what things go into them, please?
All things appropriate for children of different ages. We put, all stationery items. And for the adults, we now put in toiletries and things appropriate for the men. And also hats, gloves, scarves, and socks. And some of the elder people have underwear and things like that.
So in the shoeboxes, we also make them up for two different age groups of ladies, the younger ones that need sanitary wear and those older ones that maybe don't. So we go for other things on that score. We have problems, having to go to the loo more often. Hannah, what boxes we've put together are the children's boxes,
yes,
men's boxes,
and women's,
and teenagers.
And teenagers.
Okay. So, how many boxes were checked this year through the South Petherton Collection Centre, which is where we were, South Petherton?
6,270.
So they didn't all come from Chard, Hannah. So where do some of these boxes come from?
We had 1,000 come from Exeter, which have already been processed. And they come from Cornwall, Swanage, Bristol, Exeter, Axminster, Glastonbury, Shepton Mallet, and all local churches and places around here and schools, especially schools.
Okay, so in the shoeboxes, you've just learned the sort of things that go in it, but there's a vital other things that go into the boxes that we haven't told them about. What is that, Hannah? The things that we put in on the top.
The Christian literature. Every box has a Christian calendar appropriate to the area that it's going to, and the teenagers also have a little Christian scripture book.
So do they go in English or are they going in a different language?
They all go in the language appropriate for the country they go to.
In this case, it was...
Ukraine.
Okay. So that's where the boxes go to. What could other people do to help next year, maybe, to support the work?
First of all, we need organisers, because the people that are doing it don't feel they're up to it any longer. And we need organisers, we need helpers, we need drivers, and help with processing the boxes. Also, we desperately look for a warehouse every year, so anybody that in contact with anybody that has a suitable warehouse that is needed.
This year we're able to use the South Petherton Church because, sadly, their church is going to close. And so there's nobody in the building apart from other users. So we were able to commandeer the pews and put tables across, and that's how we managed, but it's not ideal. So finally, Hannah, do you think you could tell us a little bit about how you feel it's related to your Christian faith?
Well, having been brought up right in the forests of Argentina for 24 years, I never had any toys, I had to make my own. And see how the poor people live, just live in mud huts. And I feel that is one of the things I can do, is to help children in other countries.
Thank you very much then, Hannah.
And we can pray that the boxes that have already left this country arrive safely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah and Christine. Finally, in other words, just a snippet of what I've called our ninth set of stories, other stuff that's going on. Stuff like Project Romania, which is sort of in the back of our mind. We know Dawn has been involved in that for many years, and Mike is the current chair of that organisation. The work that Don does through Siloam Christian Ministries, and we'll be looking at that in further detail in February next year. But people prepared to just go abroad or support work abroad. Even the work of Good News for Everyone. We've heard from Bill and we've heard from Jim and Sylvia, but you know, another string to their bows is the work of the organisation that used to be known as Gideon's, but you know, working at getting Bibles and Testaments not only into hotels, but into lots of other places as well. Organisations that don't even sort of exist as a formal organisation necessarily. And there hasn't been time, but I know Andrew is heavily involved in work in South Africa, I think. And you know, lots of things that are going on in various places, lots of people involved in other things. Let's just pray for a moment. Let's just try and round all this together. Lord Jesus, in the picture, in the graphic that's on the slide, which was actually taken in this very room, we have the cross and a flower arrangement, and then the window behind it reflects the other windows, the other side of the building. And Lord, in some ways, that's how our lives should be. They should reflect something of you, something of your love, something of your grace, something of your forgiveness, but also something of your doing. Walking with you is not a passive experience. Whether it's in the school playground, helping somebody who's fallen over, or whether it's helping somebody in the supermarket, whether it's getting a tin off the top of a shelf for somebody who can't reach it, whether it's helping somebody cross the road, whether it's working, volunteering with an organization that seeks to make somebody else's life a bit better. Lord, we want to remember the example you set. That you not only forgave sins, you not only created a redemptive path for us, but you also helped people. You listened to people. You served people. You became one of the least. Help us, Lord, as we attempt to reflect something of your majesty, something of your grace, something of your power. We think, Lord, of those in this fellowship who are not here today, those who are unwell, those in nursing or residential homes, those away. Lord, we would pray you would work in their lives. Their lives may be very different to how they were 20 years ago, but they can still serve you in those places and have your confidence. And those in hospital, those who are unwell, give them not only your healing and your grace, but a sense of your power in their bodies. We long to serve you. You long to call us. And you call us not because we're perfect, but because we're imperfect. You make the broken whole. You meld the pieces back together again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So if nothing else today, maybe you're left with a question, how could I serve God locally in a practical way? Well, I don't know the answer to that, But I do know this, that we can all take small steps to practice telling others about the truth and the love and showing that love through our actions at the same time. The two aren't separate. They meld together. We had that list, if you remember, of those 15 different things. It might be one of those. Through family, through tithes and offerings, through volunteering, through visiting, through donating, through just being a good friend, by serving, by being with those who mourn, by following Christ's inspiration. And when we looked at Samuel last time, do you remember we said some of us might need to be the Elis that help people see that calling? Serving God through missionary work or fulfilling the callings, being creative, but above all, humbling ourselves. And it brings us back to those verses that we looked at before. 2 Corinthians 4:10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed, be seen. We're going to finish this morning with that same song that we finished with last week. It just ties the two together. Do you remember this was like, I called it a responsive song? Now this week, because you know it, well, you may, you can sing all of it if you like, but if you want to just stick with the responsive bits, that's fine. So do you remember we said the responsive bits are left justified on the screen, they're in yellow, and it's usually just single lines that... So it's like a question and answer song, isn't it? With words like, a phrase like, we do this. It is the truth. He is the one. He does. And I think I've only included one reminder at this time. So just remember how your line goes. We do. Yeah, remember? Okay, dead simple. And I do it again. I was going to take it out this week, but I've left in the video because I think it just helps you to see what's going on. If you weren't here last week, I'm sure you'll pick it up fairly quickly. He hopes. All right. And our musicians are going to help us along with this one again, as they did last time. So please stand if you're able and sing, Is He Worthy?
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all? Spirit move among us.
us. And as Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Sing with me.
He is worthy, then he's worth not only worshipping, but serving, and serving in practical ways. Our Social Action Committee meet regularly to try and tease out ways in which we might enhance serving God in practical ways, and talk about that as a fellowship, as a congregation. If you want to know more about how that committee works, talk with Mary Theobald. But also, just, you know, I have to say, it's not a recruitment drive, but I do thank those who've just given us an insight into different things they do. If you want to know more about those things, then obviously chat with them, okay, at any time, today or any time. But if that's not your calling, seek out what might be, because God has a calling for each of us, whether it's listening, speaking, doing, just serving him in the real world, out there. Let's say together the words of the grace as we bring our time this morning to a close. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you.